Europe's biggest economy is officially in recession. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Germany's economy shrank by 2.2% in the first quarter, the sharpest decline since the financial crisis more than a decade ago. The BBC's Andrew Walker has the details.
The weakness this year reflects the official restrictions and personal and business choices that have been made in an attempt to limit the impact of the pandemic. Those effects were concentrated right at the end of the three-month period, so it's likely that the data for the quarter now underway will show a further and probably much larger contraction. In London, I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Well, despite that data, the DAX in Frankfurt is up 1.4% alongside a broad rise in European shares. That's as oil prices are up 3% amid signs Chinese demand is recovering. The country's industrial production returned to growth last month as the nation emerged from its COVID-19 lockdown. For many of us, this is the kind of sound that's become all too familiar during months of lockdown. Home bar carts have replaced draft beer taps, and Zoom calls now stand in for shoulder-to-shoulder pub gatherings. But with lockdowns easing in many parts of the world, some restaurants are already geared up for a socially distanced future. And many customers are ready, like these patrons in Sydney, Australia, who are glad to be back in their local cafe today.
It is such a treat, I can't tell you, just to have a normal morning, really.
I've been looking forward to sitting in a cafe for weeks, and here I am. It's absolutely fantastic.
Given the cafe's a bit of business, but they've been struggling for a while, so that's the fun bit.
Restaurants across Europe are also throwing open their doors today with strict social distancing rules. Jaska Balov, the owner of Dalmatio in Split, Croatia, reopened earlier this week and has been putting tables at least 2 meters apart.
Business right now, in this moment, it looks more like the first day we opened 18 years ago. We just start 20, 30 people, about 5, 6, 7 tables maybe.
He said it's mostly locals coming in for a meal, and the number of customers increases day by day. But he worries about how long it'll take to get back to normal operations.
Truly, I hope that the situation will stabilize, but we go day by day.
Further north in the Lithuanian capital of Vilnius, Mayor Remigus Šiniasis is trying to make things easier for businesses to reopen by allowing them to apply to extend their outdoor seating areas into the city's public spaces.
We have around 180. Cafes are opening up enthusiastically, despite the fact that it was not very warm. It was full of people.
Technology can also play a role in helping customers stay socially distanced while out for a meal. One Spanish bar has implemented a robot to pull pints, while Scotland-based tech company Hunger has become popular for its tableside ordering platform. Chairman Mike Callahan explains how it works.
You can walk in, grab a table, order your food to the table, pay for it. So they're not having to queue. They're not having to deal with a waiter or a waitress. They're not having to deal with cash. And they're in and out very quickly.
Restaurants and hotel chains already use the platform for to-go orders. And Callahan said the company's seen a huge surge in new global business.
As the crisis was hitting different countries at different times, we were seeing demand appearing in those countries. So we've now established a strong base in Spain, similarly over in the USA and into Canada.
Plenty of challenges remain, but with new technologies and protocols in place, bars and restaurants are working hard to make sure we can ditch our bar carts and raise a glass together safely again soon. Well, from the restaurant scene now to travel, several airlines, including Lufthansa and Emirates, have announced they'll resume a limited flight schedule over the next few weeks. They've been virtually grounded as borders closed to stop coronavirus spread. But that's not the only mode of transportation getting back to some semblance of normalcy.
This is Oxford Circus. Change here for Bakerloo and Central Line.
Trains are also filling up as restrictions ease. The London Underground is seeing a 7% rise in passenger numbers this week, but travel is still down 94% from a year ago. The BBC's Will Bain kicks off our look at how mass transit is rumbling along in Europe.
Prepare to line up. That's the UK government's warning to commuters as public transport begins to get back into gear. The official advice is still to avoid mass transit, but if you do ride, national rail companies will expect passengers to wear face masks and buy tickets in advance. And it's far from business as usual. Last night, Transport for London needed a government bailout just to keep going. And with safety fears for overcrowded underground trains, the plea from London's mayor is for travellers to be cautious. From London's Tube to Paris's Metro, and correspondent Hugh Schofield.
At the end of this first week out of lockdown, the Paris Metro is operating but not at full capacity. What you notice as soon as you go down are the stickers and markings everywhere reminding you that wearing a mask is compulsory and showing the correct distance to keep while waiting on the platform. Every second seat on the trains and on the platforms is also indicated as not to be used. There are plenty of staff around and sometimes police checking at rush hours that you have the right to travel, because here in Paris, only if you have specific authorization from your work or for imperative personal reasons can you go on the metro during peak times. Now a look at public transport in Moscow with the BBC's Natalia Zotova.
On the metro, the Russian capital's main public transport system, there are considerably fewer passengers. Everyone in a carriage is able to sit down. 2 months ago, it would have been impossible. Since Monday, it is compulsory to wear a face mask and gloves when traveling. The Moscow metro has been accused of selling the protective gear at inflated prices, which it denies. In Moscow, I'm BBC's Natalia Zotova for Marketplace.
Staying home or traveling around town? We hope you stay safe. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.